Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabre. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabre.
Amen. So we are looking at the benefits of harvesting souls. The benefit of harvesting souls. Are there benefits? Are there really benefits? Anita, is there really a benefit in harvesting souls? Is there something like that? That's what we want to look at. There is a benefit in harvesting souls. I'm sure if we knew about that, we will engage ourselves in that all the time. Okay. Luke chapter 10. In verse 1. Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. Benefits of harvesting souls. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would go. Remember, Jesus will not do something that he will send somebody to do. Are you with me? If Jesus is going to do something, or if Jesus believes in something, then he will also encourage others to be involved in that same thing. So after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would go. And verse 2, he says that, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great. When we say harvest or the benefits in the harvesting of souls, we're talking about like going to pick some mangoes. You pick mangoes that are ripe. Amen. You pick mangoes that are ripe. We, you know, in Canal, we have oranges, we have tangerines, we have avocado pears. And you see, because we are from Georgetown, we are bush people. We don't know how to deal with fruits. So when we go and we are working, then you see that we will be picking the tangerines and the oranges. And then we realize that it is sour. They will be complaining, say, what kind of tangerine is this? It's very sour. But the people who live in the village, the people who live out of town, they say, no. You have to pick the ones that have dropped. Not the ones that are still on the tree. Because they are not ready. God is so good that he has created the things. When they are ready, they drop. Yeah. Or you pick the ones, yesterday I even tested it. Some tangerines, I picked one or two tangerines. When I touched them, they just fell into my hands. Without proper. And then when I tasted it, it was better than the ones that we have been forcing to pick. Like you take a stick and you go, whack, you lash it and it's not coming, you lash it and it falls. You take it and you peel it off and you put it, what kind of a tangerine tree is this? No, it's not ready. But when you live in town, like Daniel Collins, he said he's never seen an orange tree before. Yesterday was his first time of seeing a tree that has orange on them. He lives in town. Bushman, he lives in town. So when we talk about harvest, you're talking about something that is ripe. And sometimes that is what Christians, even us here in the Lighthouse, sometimes we don't even understand. We try to pick souls that are not ready for harvest. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now you have to know the difference between the sowing of seeds and the harvesting of fruits. Why are you quiet? You don't say amen? Hey. You're trying to understand what I'm saying. Okay. When it comes to evangelism, and we are actually talking about evangelism. Evangelism is like planting seeds and harvesting fruits. I'm talking about in relation to the reaction of people. Some people react easily. Some people, you need an excavator to pull them out. You have to understand what you're dealing with, because that's what I'm saying, that evangelism, soul winning, harvesting of souls. When you hear the harvest truly is great, when you talk about harvest, you are talking about the ones that you can pluck and take home. The ones that are ready. The ones that are ripe. You can't harvest something that is not ripe. So when the Bible says the harvest truly is great, it means that there are so many people who are ready to give their life to Christ. And there are also some who have not even experienced seed sowing in their lives before. So you are going into their lives to pluck a fruit that has not been planted. So you chase some people, you're on them all the time, and then you get vexed, you get fed up, you get a little, you know, discouraged that you've been doing this work, you've been going around, and these people are not responding. What kind of people are these? No, you might be dealing with a soil that has no tree on it and has actually no fruit on it. And how can a tree give you fruit when it is not ready for harvest? So it's not all the time that you will have a harvest. And then sometimes the harvest is not truly great in a particular area. Again, if you look at the land we have in Canal, it's a very interesting land. The neighbor on the right, on the western side, they are planting some pine. You get it? We don't have any pine on our land. Even banana. We have a few banana trees. They have a lot of banana trees. Now, when it is time for banana harvest, and then we say that, oh, what kind of thing is this? How come the neighbor has a whole truckload of bananas, and then we got just about two or three, bunch of banana? What is your problem? Why? Are you jealous of the neighbor now? When the neighbor was planting the suckers, you were just sitting down looking at the ones that are already there that you didn't do anything about. Now, when it is time to see banana and banana selling deer, now you are annoying that somebody is prospering and they got to be doing something. But you forgot that you did not plant anything. So you have to understand the demographics. You know, you have to understand how these things work. Sometimes, like, if you look at a country like Guyana and you look at other countries, some countries have harvests that are greater than some. Some people, their hearts are ready for the gospel. Some people, their hearts are not ready. So you and it's true. If you look at the church work here, it's not such a simple thing. Because even those who are in church work already, they are not. For example, we have a friend who has now come full-time in his church. It's a big celebration they are celebrating. Big celebration that he has left his job and he has come full-time. Big celebration. There's another one planned next month. Big celebration, which I've been invited to. When I came full-time, there was no celebration. Because there's no need for celebration. Leaving your secular job and coming to work full time in a church, what have you done? The Bible says it is even your reasonable service. If you offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Hebrews says that, is it Romans? Romans or Hebrews? Romans. Romans says it is your reasonable service. You have not done anything special. What is the celebration about? Now, the celebration is because it is something that is not done around here. People like to keep their jobs, their fancy jobs, and still do church work. Now, they don't leave the fancy work they have, and they come to church. That's why, you see, I was very ashamed when this new government came, and then they fired some permanent secretaries, they fired some people, and there was a pastor from the Ministry of Social Services. They fired him. In fact, they said that he even collaborated with, what is this guy? The local government minister, for the old one. This fat guy. Nanda Gopal. He was the one they said, you know, helped him to move some things out of his office and all kinds of things. Now, I felt very bad that a government will fire a pastor. The government can't fire me because I don't do anything for the government. I cannot represent God, and then a human being would disgrace me like that publicly. Let me be disgraced for the God I'm serving. That there's something to it. If I'm disgraced for God, there's a price. Yeah, to it, there's a price. But I will not. Like, there's one pastor who has left the country. He left the country not because of anything, but because he was in government and the government changed and there was so much pressure. So he had to leave. Look at the reason what that is making you leave your country. Maybe you can say God is moving you on, everything happens for a reason. You can give all those reasons. But I also tell that if you have not put yourself into that position, these things wouldn't have happened. So we live in an environment where the church work, the church, the passion for it. Look at even you. When we come here, we sing songs. You don't dance. You don't dance. When you come here to pray, you don't pray. When we say come and pray, you don't come. It's that the church things, the church work, it's a very difficult thing for us. So when you talk about, it's very sad. So when you talk about the harvest, Jesus said the harvest is truly great and the laborers are few. Then you are talking about trees that are ready. The Bible said that Paul saw a vision of a man in Macedonia who was telling him, please come here and help us. We are ready. We want to hear the gospel. Now Russia is trying to come up with a law to ban evangelism in the country. Yeah, it's a proposed law they are working on. And they'll pass the law. They don't want anybody to evangelize outside the church. You can have the church in. You can preach here. But after the church, you go home. Don't tell anybody about any God or anything. Yeah, it's a law coming up in Russia. So it's the same thing around here. Churches are dry. Churches are quiet. When you come here, we say, come and pray in tongues for 2 hours. Hey, it's like we are pulling hair out of your nose. Hey, you don't come. Shawin, read your Bible. You don't read. When you come to church, it's like, hey, you've come for me. When you feel like going, you go. When you feel like coming, you come. What? But I'm trying to teach you that there are benefits in reaping the harvest. Because, you see, when there's a great harvest and you go into the farm, it's a lot of work. I mean, if you look at cherries, if you're harvesting cherries, and our neighbor in Kana has cherries, when you go, you wonder, they don't like the cherry. You should see the floor. Oh, the cherries are all over. Now, if cherries are ripe and you shake the cherry tree, oh, it's a lot of work. You have to pick them little by little. And if you have a lot of trees, then you almost will be a little, some man, I'm tired. But you see, Jesus is trying to encourage us that as long as the harvest is truly great, we need more people to be involved. And there's a benefit when we harvest souls. But I'm just giving you a little background that
Once there's no harvest for those who do church work, those who invite people, and sometimes it's very difficult to get people to come to church and all of that. Sometimes seeds have not been sown in their lives enough. And I can tell you something about Guyana. Guyana and Guyanese churches do not preach good messages. The churches don't have the word. I can tell you that. Most pastors are not good preachers. Not good preachers. So, because you see, the Bible says that a sower went out to sow. It's a preacher who went out preaching. Now, if you don't preach the right type of messages, you do not sow seeds into the soil. Many people go to church. You see, the churches that are filled, there are reasons, there are beneficial reasons for individuals. That's why they go to those churches. You can mention the church name and I'll tell you. That's why you see what you're saying. Because human beings must have something that benefits them. We are very selfish people. If there's nothing to benefit you, you won't come. Those of you who come here, you are very different, you know. You are very different. For those of you who come because the service is nice, the singing is good, the preaching is nice, you are very different if you don't know. Yeah. You're very, very different. Oh, you didn't know that? Calvin was telling me yesterday. Calvin is my wife. He said he has a colleague at work. She's going to a church where she ain't feeling nothing. But she can't leave. She won't leave. She won't cause no problem. She won't the pastor feel bad. Meanwhile, there's a church on the East Bank that Calvin says that she feels the pastor real good. I mean, when the pastor preached, the lady feels the pastor real good. So Pastor Calvin was saying, man, take a resignation and go. I said, man, the place far. There's so many people sitting in churches. Seeds sown are not good seeds. Yeah. I'm telling you. Look at the Brazilian church. The reason why it is failed is that you can take your mother's picture, your partner's picture. You can take pillow. Pillow too? What a shock. I didn't know that one. So you can sleep good. Me, when I hit my bed, I gone. Yeah, it's a blessing. Yeah, even before you are gone. Yeah, there's some people they don't even know have to find their pillows or their bed. Yeah, even outside they sleep when they're outside. Bring your pillow. Let us pray over the pillow. It's fantastic. No, you look around. There's a particular church. People who go there are all traders. Traders, street vendors, market women. They go to that church because the church, the service promises more blessings and more money, more peaceful. It's like, come to this place because your business will do well. But Lighthouse, we don't promote those things. If at Lighthouse, we work. That's why people don't like to come here. When you come to this church and you become serious, you go home midnight. You work for the Lord. People don't like that. They don't want to work hard for the Lord. Because everybody wants something that will benefit them. That's what I said during the first service, that it is hardly these days that a woman will marry a man who doesn't have anything. Why should I marry you? You ain't got no degree. You ain't got no money. All you got is you. Nah. Any woman who marry you, in fact, people will tell her that she mad. Eh? You want punish? Look at the boy. Yeah, he ain't get nothing. Eh? We want things that have some benefits inside for us. If the man doesn't have some foundation, so, What first foundation? What are we going to build on? If a man has small foundation, you don't care about no ring. You don't care about no wedding. No, you don't. That's That's why many of the ladies around here don't think about those things. We say it, we don't mean it. No ring, no thing. It's no ring thing.
Yeah, it's just a saying which you don't believe in.
Because what we are looking for, we found it. So why all the styles?
Why all the methods and the processes and the procedures? Me ain't got time with that.
Don't bother with the ring.
Look the thing. Don't worry with the ring. Look the thing.
No, I'm preaching a very serious message, you know.
Yeah.
That is what has caused the type of reaction we have around. So it's the same thing in the church. As long as you come to the church and it's not something as you are leaving with something. People have come to value earthly and material things more than spiritual things. So the benefits or even soul winning, we don't even care. Who cares about soul winning? Which soul? I think about myself. I got enough worries. I got enough problems. If the people look at any Guyanese church, apart from the churches who people go because of what they know. If you look at one of the churches on Durban Street, people go because it's like a little high-class, fancy place. So those who have a form of godliness by denying the power thereof, that's where they go. Because you can go there and sit, and it's like, when they ask you, so which church do you go to? And they say, well, I go to this church. They don't do anything in the church. And many of them, the pastors don't even know them. But here we know you. We know when you don't come to church. We know your name. We know your address. We know your telephone number. Except the one we call you, you say you day in Bobby's. But we want you to come. Yeah. But no. We don't want that. It's like the people bothering me. What they need my telephone number for? What they need my address for? Why are they calling me steady? Why this is a... When you call them, then someone says, me husband doesn't like that. Me fella get vexed when you call me and all kinds of things. But if you are bringing something home, then you fella go say, wow, the church is a good church. Yeah. But you fella don't want nobody call you. Yeah. Many people have followed people to church here to find out what is in the church that they come so steady. Because they don't understand what is the benefit of going to church. They say, no, you got a fella. Some people even say that you and the pastor there. I mean, we are always the ones who have to get the blame. They say, you go to the church too steady. You and the pastor must be there. Because they can't understand how you can just get so connected to a church like that without any physical benefits. So they now tell you what you're actually doing. They assume that this is what is happening. That's why you're going to the church. Ladies and gentlemen, there are benefits in harvesting souls. I said there are benefits in harvesting souls. So Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, and we must get ourselves involved in harvesting souls. Yeah. Some of them we will sow seeds. They won't be ready for harvest. Somebody might harvest them. Yeah, there are some people you work on. At the end of the day, it's another check they will go to. It's okay. If you understand seed sowing and planting of seeds and harvesting, if you understand that whole farming concept, you understand that that's why you have to stay with the harvest that is ripe. There's nothing like somebody who believes in what you are doing. There's nothing like that. I don't know if maybe the older guys, Brian, you know, but when we used to follow girls, you follow a girl who doesn't like you. It's hard work, man. Extra work. You give money, you call she ain't coming.
Working late night time.
Working late night time.
Still ain't making sense.
Still ain't making sense. It's not them cheap ones where you go one day that you get old. Yeah. Like wifey. Yeah. No, there's nothing like that. You know, you love this person. You call in the person. You buying things for the person. Yesterday, even a husband was telling us that. He says he's buy when he see nice things in town. He's buy for the wife. And when he asks the wife, must buy a pants for he, then she begins to stammer. So I said, but what's your problem? If you find something nice and you buy it for her, good. If she buy nothing for you, buy for yourself. He said, no, Reverend. Reverend, you won't tell me that there's nothing out there that's nice for me? She see nothing that is nice for me too? I said, that's not what I'm saying. But if she ain't getting, buy for yourself. He said, no. She behaving that she's smart. That's his major problem. He said, he buying for the wife. The wife, he see nothing nice for buy for he. He didn't understand her. He said, when he spoke, he won't feel, when he won't feel nice that it's he woman buy this thing for he. Hey, people are different too. Yeah. But some people, they like to buy it themselves. If you buy it for them, they'll say, what is this? I don't like it. But people are different. Isn't it fantastic? He said he won't walk. He boots, three-quarter pants, he jersey, and he baseball cap, 10 soul. And he won't walk on the road and say, it's me woman buy them things for me. Hey. I thought there's only women who like those things. Some men like that too. It's more feminine, isn't it? Yeah. It's women who like that. Oh yeah, he bought them for me. But for a man too. Well, that's new too. That's also something. How many men are like that? Calvin, are you like that? You're not like, you buy rather. You buy. Because sometimes when they buy, it's not. The size.
I believe the person have to know you personally and they will choose a good thing for you.
It doesn't work for everybody.
No, nowhere.
So I say, man.
My wife do buy some nice clothes for me.
Nice clothes for I'm sure if you buy. Do you buy some nice clothes for her?
Yeah, because...
Does she wear them?
Yes.
Yeah, she wears them. Are you sure? Yeah. The person... Oh, 5 points. 5 points for Charlene. Hey. It's a wow. No, but it's interesting how... You know, people are together, right? People are very, very different. You know, so you have to know people and sometimes even understand people, right? That if she's not buying, it's a big problem for him, you know. A big one. And I can see that this will be a problem he will never solve. He can never solve. Because the woman is not like that. You can't make her to be like that. Like Brother Brian is saying, he buys, she buys, it works like that. Fine. If you never get, and I never get, it's okay too. We buy for ourselves all the time. Yeah, because some people like comparison, right? They say, you. In fact, as we have said this in Brother Brian and his wife, somebody will go home and say, when last you buy something for me? You'll be a fool if you go home and do that. Yeah. Because you are taking somebody's something that works for them. You're taking it to your house. Your house is different. It's a good message. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. He said, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. He doesn't send laborers into... You see, this laborers is more of the harvest. And I believe that there's a lot of harvest in this country. Even though it's a bit of a...
the reaction of the people. I mean, if you compare, the guys can tell you, those who came from Ghana, they can tell you, if you compare Guyana to Ghana, oh, it's very different. The harvest in Ghana is overripe. Pastor Neddy say, overripe. In Guyana? Yeah. False right. Now, you see, it is in Ghana. I don't know about, I don't think that you have it in Ghana. I may be wrong. But in Guyana, some people don't come to some areas because it is dangerous, even though there's a church there. You know, some people won't come here to this church, even though, no matter how good the church is. Because it's in Isla Penitence. It's true. Yeah. Especially some high valuta. Some of the Isla Penitence? Who said that? Even in Canal. We hired a canter to bring some things for us. He said, what are you black people doing here? He said, they said here, the people going to kill you. It's sheer Indian, sheer racial people. I beg you. Even Fitz Henry said, I told Fitz Henry to go to Canal with his bike and go and weed. He said, nah, Bishop, nah. He said, the people will kill him. He said, oh, what do you mean by the people will kill you? You don't have that. In the country I was born. That's fantastic. Verse 3. He said, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. If the son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house, remain, eating and drinking such things as they give you. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Don't say, what kind of food is this? Me like them things. 9. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Verse 10 says, but into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not. Go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. He goes on, but I say unto you that if it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented. You see the difference between two cities. Jesus is saying that, woe unto you, Tyre and Sidon. He said, the things that have been done here, the church work that have been done here, if it was done in Sodom, if it was in Bethsaida, if it was done in Tyre and Sidon, he said, the people would have repented a long time ago. It's like you are very resistant to the work. You are very, you are very adamant. Your ears are closed. You should be careful if you are like that in the church. He said they would have repented a while ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. It's like you've gotten an opportunity that some people didn't get, and still you are not responding to it. He said, woe unto you. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you, Bethsaida. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. There's a town called Capernaum. You people who live here in this area, you feel like you are big. Like South Randveld. You hardly get people from South Randveld to respond to you. Anytime we started the home cell in South, the people feel like they are big and high and mighty. They should live there and see. One day, rain will wash all their houses away. You feel that they are exalted to heaven. He said, what? They shall be thrust down to South Randveld, Canefield? I beg you. Next. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me.
And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy. The benefit of reaping or harvesting souls is joy. There is joy in winning souls. The Bible says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They return with joy. You see, when they were going, it's always a little difficult when you are sent to go and do something. The Bible says in Psalm 196 that those that sow in tears, they reap in joy. It's always the sowing part is always a little difficult. You go around talking to people about God, talking to people about church. But the nicest part of it is when somebody responds. Sunday morning, you don't even call them. When you come, they are seated in the church. And you see them singing and dancing and praising God. There's some joy in that conversion. I tell you, we have been in this business for so many years, so we understand what we are saying. When people respond, oh, there's joy. When you see people becoming pastors, when I see this, my little boy here, LG, oh, Lord God Almighty, this boy, if he had not gone to Bible school, because when he started dancing at the cultural center, I said, something wrong. Something really, really wrong. Yeah? Oh, by that time, you'd have been a child father. Oh, cry. Because many young people have sex not knowing what sex is about. It's some little enjoyment. And when they enjoy, they think that is all. They don't know that eggs and sperms are coming together. I tell you. And then, you see, I find it so sorrowful when teenagers get pregnant. Because many of them don't even know that that is what was going to happen. And many of them don't know that at your teenage years, your taste is not refined. By the time you are over 20, your choices and your taste will change. And the person that you've had a child with, you don't want him anymore. And he was not like you anymore. But now you are stuck with a child. So if you can hold on to Christ and pass your teenage years and get to your 20s, then you mature a bit more, and then your choices will be a bit more refined. You get it? If you can only keep yourself, those teenagers, if you can only keep yourself and pass your teenage years, your life will be different. Because the decisions you make when you are teenage, when you are 20 and below, they're all foolish decisions. Some of you, even when you are 25, your decisions are foolish. Because you are not exposed to a lot of experience and a lot of counsel and a lot of guidance. So in that your little world you live in, you'd make your decision from that little world, which has nothing to offer you. Peter, if you, Peter, tells me that you have a guy and you're in love, I'll laugh at you. That's a Peter. Peter, you Peter. You gossip. You know what is love? You're looking for somebody who doesn't love? What do you mean by love? Jasmine. If Jasmine says, oh, Reverend, oh, he's a nice guy. Oh, please. It can be. It cannot be. Because you are not a harvest as yet. You are unfinished. You are not a harvest to be reaped. Yeah. Unfinished product. Chantel, are you with me? No. So you enter into it like some game. You think it's computer game. You think it's just WhatsApp. It's a Candy Crush. You think it's all out. You playing sell out. Before I realize, you out. Before I realize, you out. Now you're somehow getting big. Getting big. You see, now the problem now, for you, the problem turns on your mother, who has finished having children but now has a baby. Two babies. You and then that baby. Yeah. There are people like that around. Yeah, their lives, it's like,
You see, God has cycles. I'm preaching about the harvesting of souls. God has cycles. You get to a point where children, you're done with children. What you must have is grandchildren. Prince, okay. Grandchildren, not still children. Grandchildren. Now, grandchildren are, they come around and you enjoy them a little bit and then they galang. Right? You have one or two situations where you got to pull the grandchild close to you so that you'll be able to take care of the grandchild. But it's not a norm. But sometimes we can easily make it a norm. And when it's a norm, then they feel so free. Then they go for another one. And they go for another one. Because they know you are there to keep it. They know you are there to hold on to it. Now you who has finished giving birth, you've become a mother again. Except that there's no milk in your breast. Yeah. Pinky, is not so? Yeah. If your mother wasn't there, you won't have three children. Because shorty, she ain't got time, you know, she ain't got time with you. But you see, thank God for grandmothers. Yeah, it's a blessing. Thank God for grandmothers. Yeah. But white people didn't dip on them things, you know. Prince! What? When they are older, now they want to see every part of the world. They are going on cruise. And then they should come and take care of Peking? No. Take it to some adoption home or something. Let somebody adopt them. Yeah, maybe say, no, then they put them things. But we black people, we poor people, oh Lord. We're even excited. Bring she, Galang, do your thing. Bring she. You know, sir, right? It's so nice something. Mm-hmm. No. Productivity is reduced. We have all those things. You know, so there's joy in trying to bring all. You see, when you see somebody change over, when you see somebody turn over, when the Bible says when one sinner turns away from his sins, that's why there's joy in heaven, because if you only can imagine where that person is heading to, and that person has allowed themselves to be translated to another course, it is joy only that can come. We are so happy you are in the church. We are so happy that your life is being affected. That's why when you bring your big stomach, we don't like it. Because you are telling us that you are not receiving what we've been teaching here. Yeah. I used to slap people who bring big stomach in the church. Yeah, no, you can't bring stomachs like that. Now, when they get a baby. You see, you people, some of you are wicked though. Is it as you are going around, you don't say anything. Then you go and get pregnant. Then once you give birth, you bring your baby to church. Everybody must love your baby. Then you want to offer up your baby. Even that, we don't say anything. We don't remember, we don't bring back the bad things you did. When we say, go and bring the guy so that we'll do a very nice christening, then you get vexed. There was a case in this church. Not know, you see, the lady, she was not even a bona fide member of the church. So she goes around some guy, it was even a married guy or so, who she gets a baby with. Ain't got time with she no more or something, some cocaine dealer, something. Now, bring the guy so we do the baby dedication well. You say you don't know where he is. Me too, I can't pray. Come and see pressure. Up to the night before the dedication. She said, he can't find a man. They are not together. So I said, which one of the problem is my problem? Which one of the problem with you and the guy is my problem? This is the church. These are our rules. We are not even saying that it's a fornicating baby, so we will not even pray for her. We are saying, no problem. It's not a child's fault. We'll pray for the child. But the guy that you open your legs to, bring the guy with you to church. If you can't bring the guy, it's not my fault. Could you believe that? The girl had planned a big party on that day. So when I said that, I can't do it. Because we have to teach some of you lessons. Some of you have to be taught lessons. You can't just go around and do anything and just come and sit down and then we also follow you like that. We have brains also. Look at that foolish girl who used to come to this church, left and went to the church around the corner. And then she came and she went to tell the pastor to come and beg me to come back to the church. And I allowed her to come back to the church. 3 Sundays, she's now gone back to the church again. Now, so what? We can be pastors to a point. And then when it gets to another point, we take our rod and our staff and we slap you with it. Because otherwise you are making us as if we don't have brains in our head. How can you leave our church and take our members to the church around the corner? And then now you are there, you say you want to leave. All kinds of things. A pastor hears about it and says, oh, Pastor Collins is my friend. Let me go and talk to him for you. Unexpectedly, the man brings the lady to my office. I was shocked. I said, okay, she can come. I told my church workers, let's welcome her back. It's not a problem. Came around 1, 2, 3 times. That's it. The next time I hear, she's back to the church. Now, what do you take us for? What do you take us for? She better don't. Because now we it is proven that you're taking people for granted. So I'm saying that you come to church, you don't say anything about your life. All of a sudden, you come with a big stomach. We don't say anything to you. You come, we smile with you, we touch your belly and things like that. When the baby comes, we say that you're telling us that you can't find he, you don't know where he there. And is that me problem? Is that my problem? Is that my problem? Now, so when we say we can't do it because of that, then you say all kinds of bad things about us. Then you take your child to another church and then pray for the child. And then you do your big party. And you put pictures on Facebook as if we are bad people. We are bad. It's okay. We are bad. It's okay. It's bad. It's okay. It's bad. It's okay. Yeah. No, you. If you love this church and you want to be in this church, you have to learn things well. Because there's so much joy to see you turn a new leaf, to see you change, to see you love God, to see you sing for God, to sing you praise the Lord. It's so much joy in it. That's the benefit of saving souls. But when you come, you make your face like you are innocent. And now when there's emergency, then you take a phone and you call me. I will not respond. I will not. You don't know me. I will not respond. I don't respond. I don't respond. I know. You see, there are some names when I see them on my phone. I don't respond. I'm telling you straight. You have to go through some of my church workers or my pastors to get to me. Some of you. I will not respond. I tell you from the bottom of my heart, I will not respond. Because when I see the way you move in the church, I don't see why I should answer your phone call. Because you walk in the church anyhow you like. Me too, I have the choice to pick up my phone or not. I bought the phone. I can take it and shy it. You can't force me to respond to your call. Like yesterday, somebody called me about 4 or 5 times. It was later that Reverend Larry called me. And he was telling me the thing. I said, is it that's why I don't respond to phone calls? And I said, bye. Use a pastor to fix the problem. Yeah. This morning, even late Pastor Karen was around. So the two of them dealt with it. This morning, late Pastor Karen texted me and said, it has become a big problem. The people insulting them, where they took them, the child to some church. Okay. I said, this, I should leave my house, come and get myself into your problem. I don't know you well. This is a good message or not? Yeah. It's good. When we see you changing. We see you changing. We see you coming to church. This girl had a boyfriend for 8 years. She used to fight the boy and bite the boy like that. Oh! Bite the boy, point he back. He's become a cannibal. Now you got a nice girl like she biting people upon them back. Cannibal. Drinking people blood. Blood sucker. Now, when he broke up with a guy, look how she looks getting nice. You see, so then she wants some nice guy in the church to marry she. So when you give her somebody, you say, me like he. But he's better than that idiot you used to buy. At least this one, you can't buy tea. You don't understand what I'm trying to say? So when you see them change, it's so joyful. You see people who are walking around, bad boys around, if you see them change, it's nice. Oh, one of my joys is to have pastors who come from Isla Penitence. Oh, Randall and Keith and Geneva and Clarky, they are all from Isla Penitence. Isla Penitence cannot say that we are a bad church at all. If anybody says that, may the Lord rain fire upon their head. I have pastors who have come out of this area. Pastors, look, Isla Penitence used to play cricket right here. Anybody who lives in Isla Penitence and says something bad about us, a tender lightning will strike them. Yeah, because out of the pastors that we've had, about how many, 9 or 10 pastors, majority of them, if not, are from Isla Penitence. Look, Tanisha is gone. She's going to come. What? We have done good for Isla Penitence. We have not gone around weeding the yard. That's what somebody said. Why don't we go around clearing the gutter? I said, I pass people. You think we came here to weed people's yard and clear gutters? The city council is there to do that. You don't know what pastors are supposed to do. You don't know what the church is supposed to do. You should come and weed your yard. Then you will come to church, stay in your house and go to hell. We have done much for Isla Penitence. We've brought church here. We've brought God here. We pray here. The atmosphere is different because there's God, there's church, there's something here. Come on. We have pastors right from this place. Isla Penitence owe us a lot. Owe us a lot. I forgot even Shawen. Look Shawen. Look at the Doris family. Look at them. They're all from Isla Penitence. Look at Marcy. Look, all these people are from Red Range, Blue Range, Green Range. All these people. Look, Phoebe. Look at them. Maxwell. Look, Pinky, Green. All those people. Esther, look. All the Isla Penitence people, get up. Calvin is also Isla Penitence. Isla Penitence people, get up. Get up. If you are from Isla Penitence, get up. Yeah, look. He become a nice foreign minister, huh? Hey, are you not from Isla Penitence? If you mother from Isla Penitence, you from Isla Penitence too? Get up. Where are you from? You from Agricola? You right from here? Red Range is where you's from. Right there. Oh, you come from some fancy place. Where your mother come from? That's where you come from. You don't know where you come from. Who else? What are Isla Penitence people? Yeah. It's a blessing. Look at all these nice people from Isla Penitence. Yeah. Look at Mrs. Nelson. Yeah. Oh. Nice people. Yeah. Even the prince himself is right from here. The prince himself. It's from Isla Penitence. There's nobody like Prince in this area. Very, very knowledgeable, you know, has good taste and good choices and things like that. Yeah, thanks, man. Come on. Future president of the country. Yeah. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. So when you get somebody who we can turn into a Christian, it's joy. Oh. It's joy. Absolutely. And that's also winning that. So we got to engage ourselves in that more. We have to engage ourselves in soul winning, harvesting of souls. Joylin. That's why you can't do any bad things. That's why you can't do any foolish things. No, baby. You getting baby? Because there's some small girl in the choir who getting baby too. There's some foolish boy in the church too. Yeah. Then you realize, hey, we won't say anything to them, but you see that you feel bad. Because we don't come here to make babies. This is not, we come here to make babies. You don't come here to make babies. You make pastors and preachers and soul winners. All you young people. Yeah, I want to see you. Shania, I want to see you become a good girl. Come on, good boy. Billy's telling me you disrespectful. You skinny your big teeth. Stand up. Billy telling me you disrespectful to him. Then you come and wear green and you walk around. Our joy is that people like you becoming good boys. You don't know how good it feels when you come to church all the time. You don't understand. Yeah. You go to St. George's. You could easily become a bandit. Yes. It's bandits who go to that school. And I'm not sure that the teachers are also bandits too. There's some of them. Yeah. No, it's nice. Kuma comes to church all the time. He works around. He's a very hardworking young guy. And it's joyful to see him like that. It's charming. This is why we are doing what we are doing. And I know for sure that he's going to go to Bible school. I'm sure about that. Yeah. He's skinning his teeth. Look at him. Yeah. Yeah. That's a joy. He said, Elsa, we have to win more souls. More souls. Look at Castello. Look where he is. It's the best place for Castello. Yeah. You know, he was telling me the other day he missed two things. I say, what? He says, number one, he murder. Let's ask for murder. Everybody miss murder. You know what number two is? No, number two, sleeping in the church. Yeah. He missed sleeping in the church. Yeah, sleeping here is a very nice thing, oh. There's no bed here. There's no pillow for you to take to a Brazilian church. No, but mosquitoes. But you dream more when you sleep here. Yeah? It's true. You take knockout. It's like there's some environment. You see, that's why I like Canal a lot. By the time we build something there, when you go, you really want to come back. Even if it's Easter Penitence, you come here, you get knocked out. And when you go out of town, you won't wake up for 5 days. He got to bring you back to life. Are you with me? Yeah. Soul winning brings joy. And the joy is to see many people come to Christ. People come to Christ and they're exciting. Let's do more. Let's save more souls. Are we going to save more souls? Yeah, let's bring our friends, our family, our relatives, our colleagues, students, and now let's bring them to church. Let's talk to them about Christ. There's joy in it. I tell you, there's joy in it. I'm sure, Prince, I'm sure, you know what I heard, it probably is true, that they are grooming Harmon for the next president. It's possible. Yeah. No. We are not fools. We preach, but we know. Yeah. Because if you take great, who's that? If next president, who's that? Hillary Clinton. We can do a Clinton. Yeah. If you take them away, even PPP, who's next? It's the same Jack Dio who has come back. Yeah, who's the next guy? They're doing things. And I'm sure they're happy to have one of their own black brother push him to the front, make him feel like he's a big man around. So that when they are, because they are, 70 years, 5 years, arthritis have taken over your waist and your legs. Yeah, so you want somebody a bit more younger, a bit more who knows around, has some experience to take over. It's the same thing with us also. That will be here, we'll see Pastor Ned preaching. Yeah? Short and powerful. Short and anointed. Yeah, you are what? You are. Well, let me see your height. But you are not so tall. You say you are short. If you bring the category, you're in the same category. You're a little bit taller.
Yeah, when we sit down, like, we are happy, we are excited. They quote scriptures. They can run the service. They can lead you in prayer. Yeah. We can sit down and drink some Coca-Cola and say, let them boys start a little bit. We're coming just now. Yeah. It's a joy. Yeah. My brother, it's not what it is that our children rise up. It's so joyful. Mr. Doris, look at your children. I mean, apart from Mark and the big one, look at these boys. They are here, but singing. I mean, what environment more do you want? You look at your legs. Forcing to go to somewhere. Oh, is it nice? Oh, that's what the joy is, you know. That's what the joy is. And many of you, your husbands are out there. Yeah, the reason why you're not married is that your husband is out there. You have to bring your husband. Marcy, your husband is out there. I tell you, yeah. Put the sound, oh? You agree? Yeah. Brother Calvin agrees with me too. Yeah, Prince agrees too. Your wife, your husband is out there. Carla, your husband is out there. Hey, shakabro sete berebe cabradas. Now you have to bring the souls. Cecilia, you have to bring the souls. Yeah. Because even if you are 70 years old, you should be able to get a husband in the church. Yes. Why 70? Prince, why are you making your face like that? We should die lonely like that? No. Sometimes you need a companion, man. Because the children and grandchildren, they can only give you excitement to a point. You need, isn't it, Daddy? Yeah. You must have somebody at your older age. You must have somebody with you. Yeah. So true. So true.
Thank you, Daddy. Put your hands together for the Lord. And let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Time is up.
The people they don't like clapping.
Yeah. There's joy. You look around the church, it's full of young people. Yeah. I even think it to make us feel like we are too old around here. You have a lot of young people around. And the joy is to see all these young people become something. Yeah. And then even more young people coming in. Hallelujah. Let's pray.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. My answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer
Father, this morning we say thank you for speaking to our hearts. We will definitely get involved in soul winning because we need a lot of joy in our lives here on earth. Thank you that this word is going to bring forth fruits. This word is going to be productive. This word is going to bring a harvest into your house and into your sanctuary. Thank you for the obedience of your people where this word is concerned. I give you praise and I give you glory in Jesus' name. I mean, you're here this morning, you are not saved. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. You're not born again. If you're to die right now, you're not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven when I die. You are here like that, I want to pray with you. Yes, your right hand up high and I'll do so. Pastor, please pray for me. I'm not born again. I'm not saved. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven when I die. God bless you. I see that hand. Your right hand up high. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. You lifted up your hand. I want to pray with you. There's joy when people give their heart to Jesus. Come come to me. Come to the front. I want to pray for you. Oh, clap for them. Oh. God bless you. Brother and sister. God bless you. God bless you. Wow. God bless you. Belong to you. Wow. Young people. How old are you? 12. Wow. How old are you? 11. Hey, you are in Big People Church. I say some things. You can't hear the things I say. Eh? 11. And you are, you're 16. You're a big boy. And you're 21 years old. It's a big girl. Huh? Wonderful. This prayer you are praying, it will change something in your heart. You can't see. God sees it. And it will change you forever. Amen. So close your eyes with me and let's pray this prayer together. Church, join in as we do so. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe He's alive right now. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to be my master and my savior, to make my heart His home. From today, I believe and I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe I'm born again. And I believe my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.